Chapter 13. Dragons. Caged. Quiet. Unhappy. Phineas had never seen so many of them before. The door he'd been shoved through, the one he swore he'd taken before, had led him elsewhere. Where had Selene taken him? He dabbed his handkerchief on his head.
Mercy, it's hot in here.
He tugged and rapidly jerked at the neck of his sweat-soaked robes.
What do you think?
Selene said, reaching out and stroking the whiskers of a cat-faced dragon. Phineas stayed back. It was as big as a horse, feline in its features, with a dark red belly and red scaled. Two nails whipped back and forth, banging against the walls and the iron on the cage. Its eyes penetrating and evil.
Care to pet it?
Phineas kept his arms folded in his sleeves. There was no way he would pet that thing. He was close enough already. But how did he answer without sounding too fearful?
I'm just fine, High Priestess. But if you insist...
He shuffled forward. A wry smile came across Selene's lips as she said,
Your caution is warranted. Come any closer, and he'll kill you.
Phineas backed away, his face recoiling.
You should have seen what happened to the last one who got too close.
Selene patted the dragon on the nose, drawing a part purr, part roaring sound.
The poor man sizzled and fried. Skin bubbled right off of him.
Catching the dragon's eye, he gulped. His eyes glowed with a sinister yellow light.
How exactly did that happen, if I may ask?
Some other time. Now walk with me.
The room was more or less an underground stable. But instead of being filled with horses, it was filled with dragons, all of which were restrained by one form or another. A chain was cuffed to each neck, a muzzle on all of their snouts. Except for the cat-like red one, it was different than the rest, a creature of its own free will. She flipped her hair over her shoulders as she made her way to a smaller stall. A green dragon, the size of a large dog, was curled up in a ball, shackled and muzzled the same as the rest.
How well do you know your dragons, Phineas?
Selene said. A question. Any answer could be wrong or right. It all depended on the mood Selene was in, which seemed to be pretty good at this time. But he'd seen her put a fellow acolyte to sleep before, permanently, for saying yes, which was the correct response. But she'd wanted to hear no. He cleared his throat.
Just what I've read, which I'm sorry to say is little.
And what have you read about what we have here?
A green lily?
Good. Keep going.
Well, unlike most dragons, it feeds off plants, not animals. Can be snared with honey or gold. Flies less and walks more, with a preference to hide in the heights of trees.
Ah, well done, Phineas.
He smiled a little.
And can you tell me the most important part about this dragon?
Phineas pulled his shoulders back a little and lifted his chin up.
The breath weapon. A stream of yellow powder, like pollen. It paralyzes.
Not bad, acolyte. Not bad at all. But that's not all it can do.
She pointed at the back of the dragon. A row of yellow scales flared up and down its back.
Those humps. Poisonous. Rare and pure. Assassins will pay a very high price for that.
How do you extract it?
He asked.
There is only one way to do that. You have to kill it.
A little something tugged at Phineas' heart just then.
Is there something wrong?
What was that? Sympathy? It couldn't be. Pardon, High Priestess. I was of the impression you were keeping them alive. Just some confusion on my part.
She shook her head, saying,
Come.
He followed. He'd probably follow her anywhere. Drawn like a frog to a lily pad. He could not help it. She took a seat along a bench in the back of the stables and patted a spot for him.
Dragons are much like people. Well, they're better than people in most regards. They can be guided down paths of good or evil. Some are born of evil dragons, but most are born of good dragons. Do you recall the Great Dragon War?
Who didn't remember the legends about those wars when people and dragons battled side by side for the preservation of good-natured Nelsimborg? The entire mission of Clerics of Barnabas was to begin that war again, and triumph this time. But in order to do so, they would need more dragons. Whoever controlled the dragons controlled the entire world. Free dragons, free world. Enslave the dragons, destroy the world. Phineas dabbed his head again before stuffing his handkerchief under his robes. His sweating slowed from drops to a fine-haired trickle. Finally, he felt comfortable.
Yes, High Priestess.
Selene's face darkened, and her eyes were like burning coals.
We lost then, our numbers decimated because we were careless.
She poked him in the shoulder.
One, we didn't have enough dragons.
She poked him again.
Two, we didn't kill enough before we started.
He could see the regret in her eyes, the anger, the fire deep in her mind, as if the battle was still going on. In a sense, it still was. Most of the world didn't know that, though. The strange thing was that she spoke as if she had been there. But the Great Dragon War took place hundreds of years ago. Selene looked much too young to have lived that long. She continued,
As for the Green Lily Dragon, well, if he doesn't submit to my will, turn from his better nature, then what is left of him will fetch a fine price on the markets. Those yellow humps, just a couple of them garner enough gold to fight a war.
There was that feeling in his gut again.
Sympathy? It can't be.
No chance he'd be sold as a pet.
The poison is worth more than all the rest of him.
Dragon hide, claws, scales, teeth, wings. Every bit of it was a high-priced commodity.
And the blood?
He asked. She didn't answer at first. She just sat and sat and sat, making part of him wish he were elsewhere. Anywhere but there. After several minutes passed, Phineas cleared his throat.
Ah,
she said.
I keep all of that.
She stretched out her arms as she got up and said,
Keep up the effort, Phineas, and I'll show you things you never could have dreamed of. But for now, I'm going to reveal a little more. I'm going to show you what is next in store for Nath Dragon.